Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Dr. Matthew Blecka is a vascular surgeon at Loyola Medicine. You probably saw the memes last week. I thought they were just that until Carolyn Leavitt addressed it during a White House press conference about what President Trump is suffering from. Dr. Blecka, thanks for joining us. What is that condition?
The condition is referred to as venous insufficiency or venous reflux. And so for the vascular system to the lower extremities, you have the arteries which bring the blood down to the feet, and then the veins return the blood back to the heart. So folks with venous insufficiency have what's called reflux or valves that don't work in the veins in the legs. So instead of the blood always going from the feet to the heart, it sometimes refluxes or goes backwards. And then the blood can leak out to the subcutaneous space, or meaning the space between the skin and the muscle, and cause swelling or varicose veins, or in the most advanced cases, ulcers in the legs.
Sometimes when we see that, it's usually with someone that has a heart condition. Is this independent of a heart-related issue?
Most often it is. In fact, venous insufficiency is very common. So if we take the entire population of the United States, by age 50, over half of people will have some physical examination findings consistent with an element of venous insufficiency. So it's very frequent and not necessarily reflective of a heart problem, and rarely would it be. And so the most advanced thing you could develop would be like an ulcer in the leg, what's called a venous stasis ulcer. So things to watch for in general for venous insufficiency, the lowest grade, we kind of grade it from 1 to 6. The lowest grade would be spider veins that you might see on the legs, kind of what we call telangiectasia or reticular veins. The next stage would be varicose veins, kind of those bigger ropey veins you'll see on folks sometimes in the summer months here. The next stage is leg swelling, which is what I understand has been seen in the president in recent weeks. The next stage would be hyperpigmentation or bronzing of the skin from red blood cells leaking out of capillaries and kind of staining the skin. And then the most advanced stages are ulcerations of the skin that can develop in the legs.
So spider veins could turn into this. Is this why people, sometimes they have them done for cosmetic reasons? There's a medical side to this to prevent this in the future if you have spider veins, or certainly if you have varicose veins?
Yeah, well, the spider veins are kind of a manifestation of it. So treating the spider veins themselves wouldn't necessarily prevent venous ulcers, but if you do have varicose veins, like the larger veins, then if you get a venous ultrasound with a vascular specialist, we can determine if you have superficial venous reflux, for example, in the saphenous vein. And for folks with superficial venous reflux who are not responding to compression stockings, then they may benefit from a procedure to treat the superficial venous reflux and close off a vein that's not working well. And certainly for people who do have venous ulcers, then there's a much stronger benefit to doing procedures to treat the superficial venous reflux. So it really depends on the severity of your symptoms and signs as to whether you would benefit from any interventions or procedures.
And so not unusual for people over 50. Does weight have an issue or an impact on it?
Yes. Being overweight certainly is a risk for increasing venous hypertension and worsening venous insufficiency. A lot of it is genetics, and then it's more common in the female sex. If you've had a prior history of blood clot in the deep veins, that's a major risk factor for damaging the valves in the deep veins and then ultimately down the road resulting in what's called deep vein reflux. So in general, best prevention is to stay active, watch your weight. If you do have signs of venous insufficiency and you're going to be on your feet for a long day, then wearing compression stockings, it's great to reduce your swelling at the end of the day and preventing things from getting too out of control.
So it's more likely to happen when you're on your feet all day or when you're seated all day?
More likely for folks who stand. So folks who stand all day, who have jobs, for example, who stand all day, have the highest rate of developing venous insufficiency. We see it very commonly in the folks who work with us in the operating room. So the surgical techs who are on their feet all week, basically throughout their work week, and then a lot of them work overtime. So they're on their feet for many, many hours a week. So they develop venous insufficiency very frequently. The surgeons are in the operating room actually a little less than the techs who are doing surgery itself all day, not doing clinics, et cetera. So if you've got a job where you're on your feet, then wearing compression stockings can certainly help you prevent from getting signs of venous insufficiency.
And since this is your specialty in medicine, a quick question for those people who travel. If you are over 50 and you travel and you're on an international flight, is it suggested you wear compression socks? Because that's always what's being pitched to everybody.
Yeah. Even more beneficial is to make sure you get up every couple hours and not keep your legs in the same position. So the worst thing that you want, the main thing you want to avoid is developing any blood clots in your legs. So moving around is the best prevention for that. Compression socks can help as well, but if you're sitting perfectly still and not moving, they're going to be of less benefit. So they're kind of like an adjunct, meaning they help out a little bit to prevent blood clots when you're on a long flight, but moving around is the most important thing. Same with a long car ride, just make sure to shake your legs every once in a while, get up and move, and that helps the blood not be as stagnant and helps the blood return back to your legs.
Thank you so much for joining us.
From the legs.
We appreciate it.
Great.
Dr. Matthew Blecka, he is from Loyola.